Hallelujah. 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 Helen's smiling. The monitor should smile. The smile monitor should be smiling, setting the good example. Amen? That's why I elected you. Or conscripted you, I should say, Helen. Because you smile easily, and you set the good example. Amen? This morning, we're going to be talking about God's powerful, glorious New Testament church. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning? Yes. 2008 has been decreed as the year of the fullness of the blessing of Abraham. Amen? The blessing without measure. Amen? Folks are receiving from it all around the world, those who believe it. Amen? We believe it. This is a year of the fullness of the blessing for this church. Amen? We do believe that. We're hooking up with that. We receive Brother Copeland's word, prophetic word, by the Spirit of grace. Amen. Every year the Holy Spirit gives that man a word for the body of Christ to take us through the coming year. Just before New Year's, he goes before the Lord. I believe he goes into a period of fasting and prayer at the end of each year. And he comes out of it with a word for the body of Christ. And he said that the Holy Spirit told him in late 2007, that 2008 would be the year of the fullness of the blessing. The other night, the closing session of Brother Copeland's ministers' conference down there in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, he completed his almost two-hour-long message, and it was a barn burner. It was good, talking about the blessing of Abraham. At the end of the message, he said the Holy Spirit said to him, "Tell them it's not your message. Tell them it's mine." So he said at the end of the message, he said, "The Lord just told me to tell you that the fullness of the blessing in 2008 ain't my message. It's not something I came up with. It's God's message." Amen. And if you receive it as coming from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace, you will experience greater blessing than you've experienced at any other time in your personal history. Believe it and receive it. Doubt it and live without it. Amen? We receive it. Amen? I never was one for walking in spiritual darkness. Amen? Hallelujah. Look right here. We're going to be talking about God's glorious New Testament church. You there in Acts chapter 20? This is what commonly called Paul's Ephesian farewell. He was coming to say goodbye to the Ephesian church for the final time, only he was proven wrong. He ended up coming back to Ephesus one more time after this, but he honestly believed in his heart that he wasn't going to be able to get back to Ephesus anymore. He's out towards the end of his life. He was still completing missionary journeys, had commitments all over the Middle East that he needed to keep. He really believed he would never be back at Ephesus again, but the Holy Spirit led him back. Anyway, he's here in Acts chapter 20, what he believed to be his final farewell to the Ephesian church leaderships, the overseers and the pastors. And he said right here in Acts 20:25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the gospel of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Paul could have been saying two things here. You know, he's a Christian murderer, but he was expressing his confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. So washing completely away his sins, he said, "I am pure from the blood of all men. It's not even on my record anymore." Amen. But he could also be saying, he could be saying both things as well. He's pure from the blood of all men. I've preached the gospel to the Jew. I've preached the gospel to the Gentile, just like God told me to. If you don't believe it, it's no longer my problem. Ball's in your court now. Amen? He said, "I've obeyed God. I've preached the gospel to Jew and Gentile. I am pure from the blood of all. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock." It actually says to the little flock. Amen? You know there's little churches, just like the gathering, all over the world meeting this morning, today, this evening, this afternoon. Amen? And collectively we're a force to be reckoned with. Amen? Little flocks aren't unbiblical. Amen? Neither are house churches. Some pastor said to me one time, people don't like house churches. God doesn't honor house churches. So you ought to read the New Testament. You ought to read the book of Acts. Amen? The whole thing, the whole ball of wax came out of home churches. Amen. And God still honors home churches today. Amen? Hallelujah. We might be a little flock today, but we're going big in the future. That's what I'm planning. That's what I'm planning. I'm not coming in here every day saying, every Sunday and every Wednesday, oh God, where are the people? Where are the people, God? Where are the people? You're here. I'm here. And we thank God for who we got. Amen. And when we're thankful for little things, God will promote us in bigger ways, into bigger things. Amen. Hallelujah. People wonder why they're not prospering. Stop being thankful for what you have. Amen. We're believing God for a new car, but we ain't griping. We're thanking Him for what we got, and that it lasted as long as it has, and it will continue to last until we make the decision we're all through with it. Amen? Amen. Are you with me on this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. We're in the will of God in this place here today. Take heed, therefore, over yourselves. Remember, He's talking to church leadership and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. That word's pastors, episcopos, amen, bishops. That's me. He's made me bishop over this congregation. Amen. You didn't vote me in. You can't vote me out. Amen. Hallelujah. He's made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. That's my job, to feed the church of God. Now, what is the church of God? That's the question we're going to answer today. What is God's powerful, glorious New Testament church? We need to know who we are before we can really sink our teeth into the fullness of the blessing for 2008. Amen. And by the way, it doesn't make any difference what year you might be listening to this message. You might be listening to it in 2014. Get a hold of this digital recording. This message still applies. Amen. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. The anointing of God is tangible. It passes from me into this digital recording and into you who are listening by television, by radio, by digital recording, by CD player. Amen. Oral Roberts did an experiment one time. He did an experiment. He would come to a certain place in his tent meetings. He'd have tent meetings with 20,000 people under a tent. 20,000 people under a tent. Amen? And people at a certain point in his service would begin to fall under the power of God. Oral decided, I'm going to, what would you call it, videotape, it was on, you know, those big reel-to-reel 8mm old-fashioned things in the 50s, the 40s and the 50s. I'm going to record these services, and I'm going to put people in a room to watch it and see what happens at the point in the service when people are being slain in the spirit. So that's what he did. He videotaped the services on his had his cameraman with the clickety-clack, however that thing worked. I don't know. You know what I mean. The big old reel-to-reel. And then he put people in a room to just watch it. Didn't even tell them what's going on. He just invited them to come and watch the crusade on film. And at the same point in the service on the recording where people fell under the power of God, people in the room watching it began to fall under the same power of God. And he did it with one group after another to satisfy himself that the anointing of God is tangible, went on to the film, came off the film, and went into the people months and years later. Vicki Jameson Peterson gave a word one time, preaching on television to a live audience for someone being delivered from depression. God's right now delivering someone from depression. And nobody responded. You've been through horrible darkness and depression, locked in your room, shades down for months, not coming out. The Spirit of God's talking to you right now. Be free in Jesus' strong name. Nothing. Months later, Vicki Jameson Peterson went into a deep depression herself, locked herself in her room for months, pulled down the shades, refused to go out, couldn't be ministered to, couldn't be reached, nothing working for her. Months she laid in that bed, 2 or 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. It may have been 3 or 4. I'm talking about the anointing of God. How many believe the anointing of God can just hit you where you're at right now and heal you? Don't you ever discount that as being possible. Amen? Hallelujah. Be game. She's laying in her bed for months in deep depression and darkness, shades down, unreachable. Prayer wasn't working, nothing working. One day she decided to pick up the remote control, the way I understand it, and put the television on. And lo and behold, there was a minister on television. It was her. And she heard herself give the word she gave months earlier. Someone has been laying in bed for months, curtains pulled, deep depression and darkness. Nothing's reaching you. Nothing's working. Be free in Jesus' strong name. She rose up off that bed and that depression broke off of her life by a word she had given months previously on television. It was her. I gave a word one time for someone in the congregation who had a mole on the back, on their lower back that was bothering them. Flared up, looked infected, painful, causing you pain. Nobody came forward. Nobody responded. Nobody with the mole? Nobody with the mole? Well, I always tell people, you know, some people, they're concerned, they don't like to come up in front of other people. So I tell them, you come see me after the service. If you want, I'll pray with you. It's okay. God understands. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing. Nobody came. Hallelujah. A week later, a mole on my right lower back flared up and became irritated and painful. It was kind of half falling off and kind of not falling off. And of course, you know what the devil wants to tell you. It's cancer, stupid. Mr. Big Preacher Man. Faith healer. I never said I was a faith healer. Amen. I preach faith healing, but I'm not a faith healer. Jesus is a faith healer. That word came back to me that I gave in church a week earlier. I laid my hand on my back and I told the Lord, I received that word for that individual with a flared up mole on their lower back in Jesus' name. 2 or 3 nights later, that thing dried up and fell off in the bed. Through a word that I had given in church a week previously. The anointing of God is real. Amen. Don't be wondering why hasn't it visited me yet. Keep expecting. Keep expecting. Keep expecting. Keep your spiritual antennas up. Keep your expectation high. Jack your hopes up as high as they will go and leave them up there. Amen. 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 Hold fast. Love is on the way. Yes. Amen. Just keep coming, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. We're talking about the New Testament church. And wouldn't you know, the Holy Ghost interrupted me again, changed the subject. Is that what he just did? No, it's never an interruption. Holy Ghost never changes the subject. That was his subject for somebody in this room. Amen? Jack your hopes up as high as they'll go and leave them there. Shore them up there. Do whatever you have to do to keep your hopes up high. Amen. Hope is the anchor of the soul. It's the forerunner to supernatural faith bringing your miracle. Keep on hoping. Don't lose hope. I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God. I got a message to preach over here, but the Holy Spirit is telling me to talk to you this way this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. What is God's powerful, glorious New Testament church? Is it a crucifix around your neck? Is it what you can or cannot eat? Is it what you can or cannot wear? Is it praying prayers from a string of beads endlessly, even though you know they're never going to be answered, but you're so afraid of God you don't dare stop? Is that what God's powerful, glorious New Testament church is? Repeating the same prayers over and over? Knowing they've never been answered, they probably never will be, but you're afraid of God, amen? Is it a church building with a steeple? Is it a room in the Holiday Inn? Is it? Is it makeup or no makeup? for women? Amen? What is God's glory? People have different ideas of what God's glorious New Testament church is. Amen. Is it an ecumenical or a charismatic movement or council? What is the church of God? Paul said that overseers, episcopals, bishops, pastors, and leaders are to feed the church of God. What is the church of God? That's the question we're answering this morning. Before we can understand God's vision for this church, particularly in 2008, the year of the fullness of God's blessing, we need to know what the church is. Amen? What is its structure? What is its expected operation? What is God's powerful New Testament church? All right, Pastor, what is it? Hold your horses. I'm getting there. Amen? Amen? We need to understand it. We're going to understand it by the time we leave here today. Amen? Let's just go, if you would, real quick, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The first thing God's powerful New Testament church is people, not places. You're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, aren't you, in your Bibles? Hallelujah. What did I say? Well, then go ahead over where I said first. Amen. First impression's always right. Amen. Usually, if you're being led of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. God's powerful, glorious New Testament church is people, not places. Say people!
People.
Not places.
Not places.
There are no more holy places in the earth. You can say it, Helen. Go ahead. Say it, Helen. There are no more holy places in this earth. There's not. Amen. Not Israel. Not Jerusalem. Not Mount Moriah. Not Mount Sinai. Not the Mount of Transfiguration. Not the Mount of Olives. There are no. Those are all shadows of things to come, which have already come. You and me. The River Jordan is not a holy place. Amen? You can spend $2,500 if you want to go get water baptized in the River Jordan, but it's not going to move God any more than if I took you down and we took the plunge at Craigville Beach. It's all the same to God. There are no more holy places. Amen? Calvary, it's not a holy place. You ever get these trash that comes in the mail from some ministries? Splinters! From Jesus' cross. Oil from the Mount of Olives. Salt water in a little pack from the Sea of Galilee. Put it on your forehead and receive your miracle. Send us your prayers. We're going to Jerusalem. We'll stick them in the Wailing Wall. We'll stick them in the tomb of Jesus. Listen, we appreciate all those things. Don't get me wrong. I love Israel. I love Jerusalem. You know that. You see that. You hear that in me. But I'm telling you, Israel and Jerusalem are not holy places. Now, Jerusalem is the city of God. Israel belongs to the Jews and to the Jews alone. But there are no more holy places. Your prayer is not going to get answered because you folded it and stuck it in the Wailing Wall. Amen? Or because some minister went on TV with the camera down into the supposed tomb of Jesus and prayed over a stack of prayer requests from America. Your prayer gets answered because you pray to the Father in Jesus' name according to the precious holy written word of God. Oh, I can't get to Israel. I'll never get my prayers answered. Knock it off. Pray to the Father. I know I'm demonstrative. I do it on purpose. I've had people do that. Pray to the Father. Jesus said in John 16:23, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. As long as it's based on Scripture, John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. You love when I cry like that, don't you? Look right here. Well, look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16. We're going to have to move through these points quickly. Amen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Remember the Jews said to Jesus, they said, show us a miracle and prove who you are. And he said to them in John 2:19, I believe, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. They just mocked him and laughed at him. They thought he was talking about the stone temple that had taken them 46 years to build. He was talking about his body. He said, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4? She said, Jesus, the Jews say that we should worship in Jerusalem, and us Samaritans, we say we should worship on this mountain in Samaria. What sayest thou? Where should we worship? He said to her, in essence, baby doll, those days are gone. No more worshiping on holy mountains. I'm here. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to die, raised from the dead, send the Holy Ghost back into the earth, and those who worship God from this point on, we'll worship Him out of their human spirits, in spirit and in truth. No more holy mountains, no more holy Jerusalem. That's what Jesus said, no more holy Samaria, no more holy places. From now on, He said to that woman, it's holy people. You! That's what the church is, first and foremost, primarily. It's people. Holy, born-again people. Not places. You okay with that? The River Jordan's not holy. It's polluted. Amen? Oh, everybody likes to make fun of all the Indians bathing their holy bays in the Ganges River. Well, let's clean up the River Jordan first. We think that's so holy, and then we'll make fun of the Indians. Amen? We're not going to make fun of the Indians. Amen? You know what I'm saying. Got no right mocking them. We're as guilty. Amen? Well, they think that river's holy. Well, so many Christians think the River Jordan's holy, and it's not. They think the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Olives is holy, the tomb of Jesus is holy. The temple in Jerusalem, it's not holy. It's not holy. You're holy. That's it. End of story. Hallelujah. Those are all shadows of things to come. Now, Jerusalem is the city of destiny. It's the city of God. God's going to rule the universe from that city, Jerusalem, Israel, here on planet Earth, ultimately, throughout all of eternity. But I'm telling you what, there are no more holy places on the earth. You know it's holy this morning? The Holiday Inn. Right here. Because we came together here. But when we go, holiness goes with us. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. Not on a mountain. Not in a tomb. Not in a splinter. Not in a pack of seawater or oil. He said, I'm in you and you're in me. And that makes you holy. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness, righteousness, the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority because of the blood of Jesus. So first and foremost, God's glorious, powerful New Testament church is people, not places. Amen? Smile. I know I'm kicking over some sacred cows here again today. Amen? Amen? But this is all true. Amen, isn't it? Listen what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You put that in your notes. He said, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Peter said, we're a spiritual house. We are the temple of God. Collectively, we're stones in a great building that God is building. He's putting a family together who chose to love Him throughout all of eternity as a conscious act of their own free will. We are the holiness of God on planet Earth right now. Born again Church of Christ. Amen? So first it's people, it's not places. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are we? What are we talking about? Who is and what is God's powerful, glorious New Testament church? Amen? Listen, the spiritual temple replaces the natural temple. The natural temple, the stone temple, was a shadow of something to come. You, me, Jesus said, you are the temple of God. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is not your own. Amen? Say, I'm holy. Feel like it or not. Act like it or not, I'm holy. I'm the righteousness of God. That's why Paul said to the Colossians in Colossians 1:27, he said, it's Christ in you that's your only hope of glory. Christ in you. God lives in you. You of all people, you. In me. Amen? Whew. You're making some noise this morning. Number two, I'm going to just count these points down with you. Amen. Point number one, God's powerful New Testament church is people, not places. Point number two, God's powerful New Testament church is revelation, not research. It's revelation. It's built on revelation, not research. Go to Romans 16 real quick if you could in your Bibles. Amen. God revealed Himself to us deliberately. We did not discover Him through research. We did not find Him. The Bible says, even if you believe you went out one day looking for God, you weren't looking for God. God was pulling on you, drawing you, and you thought you were looking for Him, but He had marked you and called you, and He was drawing you. Amen? Hallelujah. God reveals Himself to us deliberately. We don't discover Him through research. We don't find God in the library. We don't find Him in the laboratory. We don't find Him in the observatory. We don't find Him through a telescope. We don't find Him through a microscope. He reveals Himself to us through His Word, through His apostles, His prophets, His pastors, His evangelists, His teachers, through Jesus to the Holy Spirit, and yes, even through nature itself. Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, and I asked you to go to Romans 16, I know that. He said, all of nature declares the glory of God. Amen. God's New Testament church comes about as a result of revelation, not research. You there in Romans 16? 25, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the what? Are you there? Well, thank you, Miss Barbara. Anybody else read that? According to the what? Thank you. Of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying up here? God has revealed Himself to us through the Scripture, the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, the work of the Holy Spirit, and He will yet reveal Himself more clearly at the second coming and at the rapture of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? But the point I'm trying to make today that I'm trying to get across, I am getting it across to you, aren't I? Amen? We didn't find God. We weren't even looking. We think we were looking. We're going to see some scripture here in a moment that shows us we weren't looking. God was drawing us in our fallen condition and in our pride. We thought we were searching for God when it was God who was drawing on us. And we didn't know how to properly interpret it. So we said, I'm looking for God. Well, we didn't find God. He wasn't lost. Amen. God found us. We were lost and He drew on us and we called it looking for God. Because in our ignorance, we didn't know what else to call it. Amen? He reveals Himself by revelation. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go over to John chapter 15 real quick in your Bible. The wisdom of the world, Paul said, can't know God. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, as you go over there to John 15. So love when I throw all these scriptures at you. Amen. Hallelujah. When you hear me mention a scripture verse, just jog it down in your notes real quick and go look it up later. Amen. Right now you're going to look at John chapter 15 with me. The wisdom of the world. Paul said can't know God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. He said God has chosen to reveal Himself to the world through the foolishness of preaching. Well, Pastor, that's why you're such a fool. That's what it is. The foolishness of preaching. Amen. Well, God called me to preach the gospel because I'm foolish, weak, base, and despised. Not many wise men are called. Not many noble are called. God chooses the foolish, the weak, the base, and despised. And He chooses to reveal Himself to the world through what Paul called the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. That's easy for me to say. That's what he said. Look right here. God just chose to let us know Him. Amen? He revealed Himself to us. We didn't discover Him through research. John 15, are you there? Verse 16, look what Jesus said. You haven't chosen Me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you should ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Go to Romans 3 real quick. I wish we had time to look at all these verses of Scripture together. We don't. But you need to look at this one. Because somebody's thinking, no, I was looking for God. No, you weren't. you thought you were. You were being called and you were being drawn. Amen? And you called it looking, but really it was God drawing. I'll give you scripture for that. Are you there in Romans 3? Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That, isn't that what the Bible says? There is none that seeketh after God. You weren't looking for God. He was drawing you and me, and in our ignorance, we didn't know what else to call it, so we said, we're looking for God. No, God was pulling on you. And you just migrating toward Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that's what the Bible says. We believe the Bible. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19:10, if you want to put that in your notes, He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek us out. We weren't seeking Him out. He sought us out. Amen? You know what actually says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost? Seek and save the lost? Seek and save the lost? That word seek, when you look it up, you know what it says in the Greek? It says worship God. The Son of Man came to worship God and save the lost. Did you get that? The Son of Man came to worship God and save the lost. He came out of heaven as an act of worship to His loving Father to prove His love to the Father by coming out after the family.
Amen.
I'll go. The Son of Man came into the earth. It doesn't say seek. It says to worship God and save the lost. God was willing to pay any price to get you back. If God gave us His Son, why would He not freely give us all things, Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Amen? That's why we say that the church of God is people, not places. It's holy people, not holy places. There are no more holy places in the world. No more! Amen? Not even the bed I slept in last night. It ain't holy just because I slept in it. Amen? You're holy because of Christ. Amen? And Christ revealed Himself to you. You didn't go out looking for Him. He wasn't lost. You were. How you doing? Hallelujah. So before we get all pleased with ourselves that we went and found God, remember these four words. Adam, where art thou? Amen? Does the Bible say in the book of Genesis, God, where you be, man? It says, Adam, where art thou? God came looking for Adam. Adam was running from God. Amen? Well, this is good preaching. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You've heard enough about God for Him to reveal Himself to you today through the foolishness of preaching. Amen? You have. Amen. This is how God reveals Himself to man, through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The foolishness of preaching. It doesn't make sense to the human mind that a human being doesn't have to do anything about his own salvation. There's nothing you can do about your salvation except accept what Jesus has already done for you. Salvation is not something you do, it's something you receive. Just like righteousness, you can't do it. You can only receive it. Amen? It's all based on what Jesus Christ has already done for you. What God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. It's people, not places. God's glorious, powerful New Testament church. It's built on revelation, not research. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a democracy. Democracy. Who's making me talk like this today? It's a theocracy. It's not a democracy, number three. I'm going to number them as I give them to you. Amen? Get over to Ephesians 4. Please, if you would. Hallelujah. Don't mean to be rude and command you just because I'm the pastor. Amen? It's a theocracy, not a democracy. Theocracy means God ruled. Theo means God. Theocracy. God ruled. Not democracy. Not man ruled. Amen? Theocracy, rule of God. God rules His church. Man doesn't rule His church. Amen? Are you there in Ephesians 4? Are you enjoying this morning? It's very good. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there in verse 11? Hallelujah. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body. Amen? God ruled. He passes His decisions down from heaven through apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, and a lot of folks don't like that. I've had folks come in this very room and tell me, we don't like that. Here's what God's telling us to tell you you're going to do. Good thing there was no exit sign over the door. Amen? Hallelujah. Maybe that's why they couldn't find their way out of here and I had to send them out. Amen? Come in here and tell me the will of God. People who don't go to church regularly, when they do show up, they're late more than they're early. They don't pay tithes. They don't pay offerings. They sit there like a sourpuss and refuse to worship God. And they dare to come to me and tell me, thus saith the Lord, close this church down, open up a teaching center, stop taking tithes and offerings, and start sharing what you have with the body of Christ all over Cape Cod. That's ignorance gone to seed. Amen? That's not how God does things. What was I supposed to do? Turn around and go back to God and ramrod those three girls' orders back up to God and say, here's their mandate, God. They told me, close the church down, open a teaching center, no more tithes, no more offerings. Even if I did do something like that, he'd just ramrod his mandate back down for me to pastor this church, not open a teaching center, keep teaching them tithes and offerings, and me and God would just do it together anyway.
Right. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. Just barely. I can pick it up a notch if you want, amen. You know, by the same token, we can't vote that miracles aren't for the 21st century. And ramrod that man. That's what some denominations do. No more miracles, God. But God will just ramrod that mandate right back down into the earth. And He'll do them anyway. Wherever people believe. Amen. He's the sovereign head and He works downward. Through lesser authorities. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists and teachers and civil authorities and political leadership. Amen. He tells us what to do. We don't tell Him. Amen. And we're all in line with that in this place. You don't have anything to worry about. I'm not, you know, getting on you. Amen. I'm just saying, God calls a man the pastor. He's in. He's anointed. He's appointed. He's in. You didn't vote him in. Can't vote him out. And if God puts a man in office and everybody gets together and they don't like it, he preaches the strong meat of God's word. He's too strong. He's too strong. He's too strong. He's too strict, someone told me. Too strict. And you get together and vote him out. Vote didn't do a bit of good. Amen? I'm not going anywhere unless and until God sends me somewhere. Amen? Now, you don't need to be told this, but maybe somebody listening by recording needs to be told. Amen? You didn't vote your pastor in. You can't vote him out. And even if you do vote him out because you don't like him because he builds on the word, you don't, you lazy loafer, compromising, poor excuse for a believer. He stays until God says he goes. Amen? Those are tough. Those are fighting words, aren't they? Hallelujah. Well, I'm not looking for a fight. Amen? Hallelujah. But I lay prostrate before God and I say, tell me what to tell them, God, I'll tell them. I don't lay prostrate before the congregation like some pastors and say to the congregation, just tell me what to tell God, I'll tell them. I'll tell them. I'll tell them you said it. That's not how we operate around here. That's why we qualify for the fullness of God's blessing in 2008. Amen? I just want you to know what you're doing right. And that you qualify. Amen? Hallelujah. This is good. Families aren't supposed to vote either while I'm meddling. Amen? Families aren't supposed to vote. I mean, all you have to do is have three kids and mom and dad are voted out. If voting's in a family, next thing you know, no nutritional meals. Right? Porno on the internet. I sat down beside a 11, 12-year-old boy in a library to use a computer, and he was accessing pornography right beside me and Barbara. And I said to him, "Would you want to minimize that? Please get that down." And you know what he said to me? "Don't you have anything else to do? Don't you have anything else to do?" I knew who was raising him. I knew he didn't have a dad, and I knew his mother. And he forgot I knew his mother. And I said, "Would you like me to tell your mother what you just said to me and what you're doing?" And he realized who I was. And he said, "No, no." And he took it right down. But can you dare? Can you believe an 11-year-old would speak to a 55-year-old man, say, when accessing pornography illegally in a public library, and say, "Don't you have anything else to do?" Hallelujah. Glory. It's his dad's fault. He bailed out on him. You know that? Most of the problems with the judicial system in this nation, the prisons in this nation, is with dads in this country refusing to be dad. They want sex. They want food. And they want respect. And they want it now. They want all the benefits, but none of the responsibility of God's blessing in their lives. Amen? There's a breakdown in the judicial system because there's a breakdown in the family system because dads are allowing the kids to vote if they're even bothering to stay home. This is true, you know. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. Amen? It's mostly dads. Hallelujah, Pooh Bear. You want in the honey pot? You learn how to behave. If you have a question, you'll have to hold it until after the service. I can't talk to you while I'm preaching. Amen? Your question doesn't get picked up on the recording, and all people can hear is the answers, and they think I'm as nutty as the absentee fathers in this country. They think I'm losing my mind. Amen? So I can't answer your questions while I'm up here preaching. Amen? What are we talking about? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No vote. You know, a family's not a democracy. It's supposed to be a theocracy. The dad's the head of the family. Amen? Some dads need to repent. If you're listening to us by recording, by tape, or by television, by radio, you need to repent. Amen? So you need to repent for letting your kids vote, letting your wife make all the decisions. Amen? Somebody said to me here just recently, right on Cape Cod, an individual who considers himself to be a man of true spirituality, a man of God who has falsely accused and attacked me publicly because of my stand on the Word of God, said, "Oh, I don't even read my Bible. I don't pray. I need my wife to do that. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray." And he's trying to tell me how to govern this church. But he said right to myself and my wife in front of witnesses, "I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I let her do that." Holy cow! What an indictment! Amen? Hallelujah. It's very sad. Amen? He's a dad. His daughter even told him, "We need to go to the gathering. That pastor cares about us. He preaches the word. He cares about children. He cares about our whole family. We need to go to that church." Nothing. Hallelujah. Maybe I shouldn't have gone there. No, maybe I should have. Hallelujah. Amen? They do need to go to this church. Because we require in this church that everybody submit to God's authority, God's leadership. Amen? To apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, to civil and political authorities, and to the dad as the head of the family. But the dad and the mother must be in agreement on the Word of God before they step out and do anything. I don't make decisions independent of Abra. I go to God and I hear His voice as the head of my family, the head of my marriage. And then I wait until Barbara's getting something from God, and we don't move until we're both getting the same thing, because He's not the author of confusion. He's going to tell us both the same thing. And she doesn't have to obey me if I'm not obeying the Word. Paul said, "Wives, obey your husbands in the Lord," or in the Word. "As your husband obeys the Word, follow his leadership. If he doesn't obey the Word, don't follow his leadership. Pray the cat back on." Hallelujah. How are we doing? Hallelujah. Number four. We told you it's people, not places. We told you it's revelation, not research. We told you it's theocracy, not democracy. We could go further in this one, theocracy, not democracy, but we just don't have time. Amen? But the New Testament church is not congregational rule. Amen? Denominations give leadership positions to unstable, unknowledgeable, immature, prayerless babies just because they're saved in 60. And that's not how God does things. Amen? If you didn't get that, get the tape. You listen to it again. It'll really minister to you. Number four, God's powerful New Testament church is obedience, not opinion. Obedience, not opinion. You get anything out of this today? This is good. Hallelujah. Obedience, not opinion. Say obedience. Obedience. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. It's obedience, not opinion. It's not optional preference. Amen. Genesis 2, we don't have time for you to, if you want to try to get over there, you can. I'm just going to read it to you. Genesis 2, 15 through 17, I'm going to read to you. All right, go ahead. You're going to try to get there. That's good. It's an easy one to get to. And the Lord God asked Adam if he'd like to go to the garden, honey. Or you want to go to the mall? Or you want to go for... What did he took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die spiritually. Separated from God he did. And he died physically 930 years later. You find that in Genesis 5:5. God was talking about spiritual death, not physical death, because Adam didn't die physically for 930 years. But listen, somebody said, no one said this to me. No one has the right to tell me what to do, not even God. And I said, that's a spirit of lawlessness and rebellion. God made you, he redeemed you, he owns you, and he has the right to command you. And when I'm pointing my finger at you, just want you to see I'm pointing three at me. Amen? Amen? I'm talking to myself. Amen? Hallelujah. Our opinions about God and his word and our own free will don't amount to a hill of beans. Listen, when God says in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together with one another, that's talking about going to church, baby. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with one another, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. He means get your shuffling self down to church house and sit there and support that work and support that pastor. Be there when the doors are open. That's what he means. And if we refuse to obey our opinions about whether we really should have to go or not, that's just the pastor saying that. No, I'm giving you scripture. I'm giving it to you from the book, from his book, not my book. If we refuse to do it, our opinions about what God was really trying to say won't amount to a hill of beans. When we got a dying baby, got a son or a daughter who's sick nigh unto death, and we're wondering why God's not healing them. God's already healed them. They're not pulling themselves in line with the healing. Amen? Finances, you're broke and sick and can't seem to get help. You're disobeying God. Your opinions don't mean a hill of beans when you need a blessing from God. It's obedience that's going to pull you through every time. You know why God selected Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis 18:19. You can put that in your notes. God selected Abraham to get this whole thing rolling. You know the blessing of the fullness of the blessing comes to us. It's the blessing of Abraham. 2008 is the year of the fullness of the blessing. What blessing? The blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3:13. The blessings of Abraham are ours. God made him wealthy. He'll make us wealthy if we obey him. But you know why God chose Abraham? Because the Bible says in Genesis 18:19, God knew he would command his family and make them obey God. You read that in your Bible? Right in your Bible. Right in your very own Bible, you can read Genesis 18:19. God selected Abraham because he knew he would command his family. He knew Abraham would walk according to God's word and God's will, and that he'd make his family do it. Barbara doesn't have a choice. We're going to church, girl. Get up out of that bed. I never have to do that. Amen? She's had to deal with me a time or two. Hallelujah. You've heard the joke. I don't want to go down there. I hate those people. They hate me. And the wife said, you have a choice, you're the pastor. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I don't hate you and you don't hate me. Amen. God selected Abraham because he knew he'd obey his word and that he would command his family to obey God's word. God's powerful, glorious New Testament church that's going to experience the fullness of his blessing in 2008 is built on obedience, not optional preference or opinion. Amen. There's no voting in Christianity. Christianity is a wonderful way to rule. Democracy is a wonderful way to rule the world outside the body. But it's a horrible way to rule God's body. The body of Christ is God-ruled. Amen? He says something in the Word, we pull ourselves in line. He doesn't want intellectual debate or excuses. He wants obedience. Amen? This is really good today. The Bible says abortion's wrong. Yes, sir! We'll move immediately to eradicate it. The Bible says homosexuality and lesbianism is wrong. Yes, sir! We will not allow it in our midst. We love the homosexual, but we will not accept homosexuality. The Bible says capital punishment. You take the life of somebody else, your life must be taken as well. Genesis 9:6. Yes, sir! We will do everything we can, short of that which is illegal, to make sure that capital punishment stays alive. He doesn't want our opinion. But capital punishment is not working. We try, it's not working. We haven't tried it. State by state, we've dabbled in it. But we have not followed it as a nation. As soon as we do, the murder and the crime rate will absolutely drop dramatically. We haven't obeyed it yet. Okay, hallelujah. Finally! Whoo! He's almost through. Hallelujah. And I'm cutting it short. I'm cutting it short. Way short. Still really good. God wants obedience. You know why Elvis Presley was so popular? Elvis Presley. Brother Elvis. He's in heaven now leading worship like he should have been doing on the earth. I loved Elvis. I still do. I love Elvis Presley. He's a brother in the Lord. He gave glory to Jesus to the best of his ability. Amen? He walked in spiritual darkness. You know why he was so popular? Because he, not because he was so good looking or could sing. There's a lot of good looking people who can sing. Look at me. You need to follow John Robinson's lead. When he laughs at my jokes, laugh. When he doesn't laugh at my jokes, don't laugh. Oh, praise the Lord. Elvis Presley was popular because he was respectful. As popular as he was, everything was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you very much, Mama Baby. But yes, sir. No, sir. He was attractive because he was very respectful. He respected his mother. He respected political and civil authorities. He got off into drugs. Of course, the devil messed him up. He had a call of God in his life. He didn't know how to defend himself from the inside out. But he was as popular as he was. People were attracted to him because respect is attractive. You know that? My father wasn't a godly man, but he demanded respect from me. If I ever talked to my mother the way I've heard some other people talk to their mothers growing up, my father had hit me so hard my brothers would fall down. My father demanded respect from me. Now, he's a mean man. I didn't live at home very long, but I learned how to be respectful to him. That you don't smart-mouth other people. You don't smart-mouth civil and political authorities. You don't smart-mouth church authorities. Amen? I learned that from my father. Mean as he was, and he's a mean old goat. Abusive, physically violent. But that'll take me a whole lot further than my brains ever will. The respect I learned at that man's crew hand. I learned to be respectful. Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, I'm keeping you. You give me like another 5 minutes here. We'll make this final point. We'll sing. And we'll be dismissed as the Spirit of God leads. Is that okay with you? We got to hear this one. Hallelujah. God's powerful, glorious New Testament church is a church that's focused on growing up, not going up. Some people have rapture retardation. They have chronic rapturitis. All they can focus on is the rapture, going up and not growing up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I'm not going to have you turn there. Listen, just because Jesus might come tomorrow is no reason for you to stop growing up today. Do you hear me? Just because He might come tomorrow doesn't mean you stop growing up today. Amen? 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter wrote that. He didn't say, grow in grace until you think the rapture might occur, and then put the brakes on, sit at the rapture bus stop and wait. So some people are doing. A lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are doing it. They have rapture retardation. He didn't say get saved and sit down waiting for the rapture bus. He said grow up in grace and knowledge of God's word. That's a divine mandate for the church. Did you get that? It's a divine mandate. Focus on growing up, not going up. Guaranteed, if you're doing the will of God when Jesus comes, whatever it might be, working the job He's put you on, preaching over at the nursing home, whatever you might be doing, guaranteed, if He comes and you're off busy doing what He told you to do, He'll send the rapture bus by to get you. He won't forget you. He won't forget His obedient ones. Amen? He won't leave without you. Amen? We need to focus on growing up, amen, in all things, amen. The church has suffered long enough from chronic childhood. I ought to shout that. The church has suffered long enough from chronic childhood, amen. The same reason these chairs are empty are the same reason they'll soon be filled, because I preach the way I do. The same reason these chairs are empty are the same reason these chairs will soon be filled, I say, by the Spirit of God, because of the way I preach. We needed these seats to be emptied for the people who want to pay tithes, who want to grow up, who want to walk in love, so they'll have a place to sit when they come. Thank you, Helen, for smiling, at least. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just looking over there for a little encouragement. Amen. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Amen. Listen, the rapture has been settled for me. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going one way or another. Amen. That's settled in my life. Now I'm all about studying. I'm all about praying. I'm all about growing up. Amen. We've got a church to raise up here. I'm not going to sit at the rapture bus stop just waiting for the... God, you fill the seats, God. You fill them. That's not how it works. Amen? We have to be busy about the Lord's business, not hanging out at the rapture bus stop. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said don't even associate with people who are using the rapture as an excuse to be lazy and noncommittal. He said that to the Thessalonians. Don't even fellowship with people who are using the rapture as an excuse to not do something with their sorry selves. Paul said that, not me. Amen? Hallelujah. In closing, if I may, I want to say a word about self-imposed prophecy teachers who are always telling us when Jesus is going to return, but He never comes. So they set a date, He never comes, they take an offering, they set a date, they take an offering, He never comes, they set another date, they take an offering, He never comes. Hallelujah. World War I, somebody prophesied to the body of Christ, Jesus is coming at the end of World War I. He didn't come, so He changed the prophecy during the Second World War. He said He'd come at the end of the Second World War. People followed Him, listened to Him, because He was saying Jesus was coming. Amen? Didn't come at the end of World War II? Changed it again, the end of Vietnam War. He's coming at the end of Vietnam War. And then somebody else stood up, and He didn't come. Somebody else stood up and says, coming at the end of the Saudi Arabian War. People started following that person. Setting dates, giving actual dates and times. Excuse me for spitting holy water on you, but it's true. Amen? And then the thing with the Turks and the Kurds, remember that? Somebody was prophesying on Christian TV, Jesus is coming, as soon as the thing with the Turks and the Kurds was over. It's over. Where's Jesus? self-imposed. Don't follow them. Don't listen to people who set dates. Do you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he was in this earth, he didn't even know when he was going to return? This is what the Bible says. Do you know that? They asked, his disciples asked him in Mark chapter 13. They also asked him in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 13, verse 32, he said, "No one knows when I'm coming back. Not the angels, not the Son." Read it in Mark 13, 32. He said, "The angels and even the Son of God himself, no one knows but the Father." That's what he said in Mark 13, 32, that he didn't even know. In Acts chapter 1, his disciples said, when he told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry for the Holy Ghost, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, they said, "Is that when you're going to set up your kingdom? Is that when you're going to come back?" And he said, "It's not in your jurisdiction to know. It's not in man's jurisdiction, and it's in God's jurisdiction to know." So, those of you who have rapture retardation, be free. Be delivered. In Jesus' name, stop following prophecy teachers who set dates. Jesus said, don't do it. And don't, some people have been so chronically childish in this matter. The same prophecy teacher who set a date, there's one guy on shortwave radio out of Okeechobee, Florida. I ought to call his name, but I won't. He keeps setting dates and he's wrong, and people keep following him and giving money. He keeps changing the dates. What is wrong? Rapture retardation. Amen? Peter said, grow up. Don't focus on going up. Amen? Live like he's coming tomorrow, but work like he's not coming for another 1,000 years. You get anything out of this? Occupy till I come. Amen? Hallelujah. It's holy people, not holy places. There are no more holy places. You got that today, didn't you? I know you love Israel. I know you love Jerusalem. I love Israel. I love Jerusalem. I'm pro-Israel all the way. But Israel ain't a holy place. The only holy places in existence is when the body of Christ comes together because he lives in us. Amen? Holy places were shadows of things to come. You and me, the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. God's glorious, powerful New Testament church for 2008 as a result of revelation, not research. It's a theocracy. It's not a democracy. It's built on obedience, not opinion. And it's concerned with growing up, not going up. Amen?